Now, back to a couple of guys who believe Rin Tin Tin may have rusted to death. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us in the studio, Julia Palmer, the president and CEO of Capital Area Humane Society. Welcome to the show, Julia.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here this morning.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Julia, I've got a question for you. When I heard about Halloween and the tradition that used to take place where humane societies were not allowed to adopt out black cats or even black animals, can you help me understand how that came about, why that came about, and is it still in place?
Well, you know, it was really an industry-wide phenomenon, and when I started in this industry about 12 years ago, that was the acceptable practice that about 2 weeks prior to Halloween, we stopped the adoption primarily of black cats. We didn't really focus on the black dogs, but people had concerns that things might happen to these cats considering the Halloween season. So we didn't adopt during that time, and then we continued the adoptions after the Halloween was over. And we've sort of gotten away from that over time. I think that because of the adoption processes that happen with most humane societies, most animal welfare organizations, that the screening process can really sort of determine what intent someone has for an animal. And we feel that it's probably more important to get the animals home than to delay the process. So nationwide, most animal welfare organizations have gotten away from that practice and just implemented stronger screening processes for black cats during this holiday season. And that seems to work well for us now.
Interesting. I was just thinking that, you know, the last thing you really want to do with a black kitten, and we can talk a little more about that, but their popularity is kind of in question, so we can talk a little bit about that. But
absolutely,
you take a kitten away from the public for 1 or 2 weeks, what happens? You know, it gets larger, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It makes it that much less attractive to the next person coming in.
And it delays their time. They spend longer in a shelter. And
exactly.
Really, our goal at the Humane Society is to not have the animals stay a long time. I mean, we love having them visit, but the goal is to get them home. So, you know, to delay adoptions for several weeks may not be in the best benefit of the animal. And it may sort of support the theory that there's something wrong with them if we won't allow people to adopt them during certain times of the year. And we don't want people to think that. So the screening is the key in this situation. If we can talk to adopters and put them through the process of making sure it's a good home, we feel comfortable adopting out the black cats this time of year.
Talk about the popularity of black kittens versus other kittens.
You know, it's a funny thing, and it's something we see every day in shelters. You know, the black cats and the black dogs are just really they're not the favorite pick for everyone, and I think it just comes down to their color not standing out. When you look at a litter of kittens and you have a calico and an orange kitten, people are always going to grab that orange kitten or the white kitten first because their color pops a little better, looks a little more attractive to the human eye. And so the black animals stay the longest. If we have a litter of black kittens, they can grow up in the shelter. You know,
right.
We get them as babies and they can continue to get overlooked. So we do a lot to, you know, put them on TV and promote them. But people really overlook the black animals.
And the best we can do here is kind of just suggest that the temperament is nice. Is there, that just as good?
Yeah, there's no link between temperament and color pattern. Although sometimes I think calico cats are a little feisty. But honestly, there's really no connection there.
Well, not to mention that black is thinning. So if you happen to overfeed.
Absolutely. That cat's going to look much skinnier than your other cats. So, absolutely.
So that way you can't get yelled at for overfeeding or anything like that.
Yes, absolutely. And it's true with dogs, too. You know, people walk through the dog runs and their eye catches the multicolored dog,
the
pattern colored dog,
or,
you know, the purebred dog that has a certain look to it. But the black animals nationwide in shelters, they have the longest stay rate. You know, the number of days they're going to stay in a shelter is going to be longer. And, you know, their success in a shelter getting adopted can even be determined just by the fact that they're a black animal.
Yeah. And you can't do any hair dyeing or anything like
that. Well, we don't really encourage that.
You know, right now, if you could somehow put a block S on there, probably they would go out the door right away, and they would know it's actually contrived. But I'm sure that's
there
probably
are some
not
fun
acceptable.
Things that shelters are doing. There's some Black Friday sales that we'll have, and we'll actually promote, you know, adoptions of black animals on Friday, and there'll be a lower adoption fee. So, you know, we as shelters try to really encourage people to look past the color. It's a human behavior. Animals don't care if another animal's got a black coat, but for some reason, humans want that more attractive animal that might pop sure. or be more interesting.
Well, and sometimes a black coat can be beautiful because, candidly, last weekend my wife was at a dog park and there was an Australian Shepherd, a black tri there, playing with my two Aussies. And my wife came home and point blank said to me, "That's the most beautiful black tri I've ever seen, and I might want a black tri again."
Well,
and when I do koi. And goldfish, but koi for ponds.
Yeah.
You can't see the black koi on the bottom,
right.
but you put them out for sale, and they're the first ones to sell because they're interesting. They're different than the others. Or guinea pigs. If I have a black guinea pig or a white guinea pig, the white guinea pig will stay there, but the black guinea pig will get a home.
Interesting. Yeah, so, and sometimes it's hard to see their facial features because they're all one color. So they sometimes don't appear as expressive in a cage because you can't really see what their facial features are.
Right.
But it's a complete... You know, it's a human behavior. It's nothing to do with the quality or the behavior or temperament of the animal.
Your new facility out there, I mean, it must help to some extent because you have a better environment to kind of allow them to interact with the animal.
Yes,
so a black kitten that's been around a little bit, not as shy about the public, would be more approachable and he can actually spend more quality time. And then you can get past the, I don't know what you would call it, but you know how... When we were younger and we would go to the bar, there was just certain people that everybody would be attracted to. But after a while, you know, that's no longer the issue in the same way. It's just that human behavior, you know. But if you spend a little bit more time trying to figure out how the personality is going to fit in your home, it changes the whole perspective. I don't know if there's any way you can actually you want to force that down people's throat when they come down, but it's just nothing you can – you just have to – let them figure it out for themselves.
You know, picking animals like picking someone you're going to live with. And honestly, you know, people have to make their own decisions. But we try some little tricks. And we'll have our staff get the dogs, a really nice black dog out. And kind of, you know, show the person that this dog may not have caught your eye, but look how friendly it is with your children. Or look how good it is with cats. And here's an animal that's going to be safe and wonderful to live with. And isn't that the most important thing? So our staff does a lot with interacting with people and really trying to showcase those animals that might not get pulled out of the kennel the first time around when people
what you need
are
to do is get a little clicker trainer that trains all the black animals
to come to the
click.
Front.
It just automatically come out to the front, and then all of a sudden everybody wants
idea.
The black animals. Okay,
it's
well, you can take me on
idea.
That one.
Yeah, we actually, a lot of shelters try to clicker train the cats to shake paw or put their paw up, and they'll do it with black cats just because, you know, if people see that personality, that's what really bonds people to animals in shelters is something that catches their eyes. So there are some little training tricks we do with cats, and we should try it with dogs to get people to maybe look at that black cat twice. So that's lots of fun.
Nice.
I shouldn't share our secrets, but it's actually a way
That's a good secret to share because getting cats adopted, whether it's from you or the various other folks who are adopting them out, the important point is connecting humans with the animals that will be their friends for a very long time.
And what I would like to do is change course a little bit now that we've kind of talked a bit about black cats. Talk to us about your new project going on in South Lansing.
Oh, yeah. It's actually very exciting. It's something we've been working on for a while, but we are opening a spay-neuter clinic in South Lansing, and it will be located on Cedar Street, actually at Cedar and Miller Street. And we've been offering spay-neuter services to the public for about 10 years now.
Uh-huh.
And we have a small capacity at the shelter to do public spay-neuter because we also do our shelter animals. We perform spay-neuter on both our shelter animals and the public's animals. So we do about 5,000 collectively a year, and we're still getting really high demand for people needing some low-cost options for spay-neuter.
Jane, and what I like about it is you're closer to in-town.
Right.
That's got to change the percentage of people that are willing to spay-neuter their animals.
Sure, and for us, you know, transportation's an issue for some folks, and we're on a bus route. I know you can put your cat in a carrier. Please don't try without a carrier, but you can actually transport your animals to us, and hopefully the proximity will allow people to get to us easier. And we're really trying to focus on people who may not be able to spay neuter otherwise. We really know there's a population who's struggling to provide for their pets, especially in today's economy. So we're hoping to bring people in who don't have the resources by offering low cost, and where grant funding is available, no cost spay neuter services. So we're excited. It'll be a great service for the animals in our community.
Well, I'm excited about that. You know,
yes.
There isn't a community of our neighborhoods where you don't see feral cats as the issue.
Yes. And the cats are a huge issue. The population issues with cats are really overwhelming.
And health
right
issues,
now.
Things like
very much.
There's a lot of diseases that are going to spread around because it's unchecked, unvaccinated.
Yes.
And then that exposes everybody's animals that are around the house to that same scenario.
Well, my question, Julia, is if someone wants to help you or to support you, how do they do that? Is there a website where they
Absolutely.
Should go?
Absolutely. There's a website. Of course, you can always come out and visit the shelter. And we are at Grand River Avenue, not far from the airport out that way. Website is www.cahs-lansing.org. So it's a little bit of a long one, but we have a website. All our animals are available to view on our website, all our programming, all the information about getting involved, volunteering. It's all right there for people to look at.
Well, we hope all of you will do that and support Capital Area Humane Society. We've been talking this morning with Julia Palmer, the president and CEO of the Capital Area Humane Society. Thank you very much, Julia. We
My
appreciate
pleasure.
Your coming in. And, Rick, it's been another great and interesting show, as they always are. We've had quite the conversation and learning a lot of the folklore and the history of cats, as well as how to take care of them. And all I can say is I hope that all of you will do that. But in the meantime, on behalf of our producer, Holly Rotter, and my partner, Rick Pruce, this is Lee Cohen saying to all of you, we hope you have a great weekend. And in the meantime, please, please, please take darn good care of your pets and have a great week, everybody.